Speaking today with Bill Fraser, who's a candidate for Houston City Controller. Bill, thank you for talking to me today. Why are you running for this office?
Well, I've got some concerns about the Houston City finances. I've got an almost 40-year career in financial services, financial management. I'm a CPA, and I can do something about it. So I decided to step up and run for controller.
Now, as a CPA, why is being a CPA an important qualification for being controller?
Well, it is the CFO for the city, and there are a number of things that the controller does that CPAs are particularly trained to do. One is the audit function that they perform, and the other is the financial reporting function. And that's something that CPAs are particularly trained to do. So that's why I believe a CPA is important for that job.
Okay, well, I'll get to those two functions more specifically in a minute, but kind of generally, what do you see as your priorities if you're elected to this office?
Well, there's several. One is, and I say this publicly when I'm out talking around, I think the number one issue right now is to address the pension plan, the employee pension plan issue. And so there's also some things with respect to transparency and reporting. We need more current reports, so they need to be more transparent. They need to come out more current, and I'll address those issues. And better reports so that we can improve the communication to not only city council and mayor, but also to the taxpayer.
Okay. Well, talking about the pensions, I mean, obviously, it's the mayor and the council are the ones that are going to make any changes that would be made with the agreement or not with the unions. What role specifically do you see the controller having in that?
Well, I think an oversight role when they're addressing how to fix it. I don't think the controller will necessarily take any position one way or another on what exactly needs to be done. But when they do start arriving at how to plan for any particular fix, I think the controller should have a role of oversight to make sure that we don't end up making the same kind of mistake we made last time, when they were projecting that the expenses were not going to increase substantially. And so that didn't happen. I mean, the expenses went way up. And so I think a controller, particularly one who's trained and who's had experience in these matters in the past in dealing with planning and projections and making sure that everybody understands the ramification, I believe that's where the controller can come in. I also believe the controller can help. There's going to be a lot of lobbying to do, particularly in Austin, with not only the Houston delegation, but delegations from other cities, because this is going to be a fix that everybody's going to be looking at, and I think having somebody well-versed in financial matters can help the mayor and the city council when they go to lobby for the changes that need to be made.
Okay. As you say, the role of the controller, there's a lot of reporting and there's auditing. Mm-hmm. So since I think the controller's office doesn't get as much attention, perhaps, as the mayor and council offices, let's start by talking, what are some of the reports that the controller is responsible for, and where do you see opportunities to improve them?
Well, the largest report that the controller is responsible for is the annual CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. In the past 6 or 7 years, thereabouts, the CAFR has been issued on a Friday afternoon on December 31st. Or the last possible day that they could issue the report. It's been issued without any fanfare. It just appears on the website, and there's no general discussion. There's no meaningful discussion of the elements in that CAFR. And when I go through and read it and point out to people some of the things that I see, there's a lot of surprise. And so I would issue that CAFR on September 30th, 90 days after the end of the year, and not 180 days after the end of the year, because that's a September 30th issue date, because the year end is June 30th. And so if you issue that CAFR on September 30th, what usually happens about a month and a week after September 30th? An election. So what we've done is we've taken, and it used to be issued on September 30th, but now we've pushed it back till after the election. I strongly believe that CAFR should be issued prior to election day. That's one thing. There's also a lot of different things that are going on. There's been no meaningful report on our pensions. On the debt, on the IOUs that we've issued on those are in the CAFR. They're buried in the footnotes. Now, the pension manager of the city, Craig Mason, has issued some reports, but the controller should be involved in that. We've also got several other programs, like the drainage fund, with the dedicated drainage and street repair fund that the voters passed 2 years ago with a very slim margin. There's no single source of information on that. I looked through everywhere on the website. I looked on the Renew Houston, Rebuild Houston website, and there's no comprehensive financial report on that. So I've gone and done that. It's on my website. But that's from an outside viewpoint. I don't have access to all the internal information. So there are reports like that. We need to do a meaningful, comprehensive report on all of our TERSs so that everybody understands what those are accomplishing or not accomplishing. There needs to be a thorough review of that. So those are just a few of the things that I would do if I were controller.
Okay, and the audit function, again, describe a little bit of what the controller's office does and what you would do.
Well, there are various programs in the city that need to be looked at. There's contract compliance. There's that would be with the various vendors that the city has franchise agreements with, or the public works contractors that go and repair streets. Were those jobs actually done correctly? There needs to be, like I said, a review of the TERSs and go in and look at that. So there are various audit functions. The new health benefit plan that the city has, there should be an independent review of all these programs, and those reports should be issued publicly, and they should be some sort of meeting where the public can come and ask relevant questions. They shouldn't just be put on the website.
Now, a couple of years ago, there was a charter in the past that gave the controller's office a bit more authority, as I recall. I'm trying to remember the details of it. I'm a little hazy this morning. But do you think the controller's office, as it is now, has the authority it needs to do its job? Or do you think there should be some changes made to give the controller more authority?
You know, I haven't really thought about that. The controller right now mainly has a bully pulpit, okay? And I believe that the controller should use that effectively by challenging some of the decisions that are being made or challenging some of the plans that we put before the voters. I'm not sure that's being done right now, and I would do that. Whether someone wants to give the controller more authority, I doubt that that's going to happen. I don't think the city council or the mayor particularly is going to want to give up something, and I'm not asking for that. I think that with it structured the way it is, there's enough there for the controller to be effective.
I mean, do you see the controller's role as being more, antagonistic or more just sort of like an oversight role?
Somewhere in between. I really don't think the controller should be antagonistic. I think it should be independent, and I think it should act independent. That's another thing that CPAs are very used to, is being independent of their clients. They serve their clients, but they're independent. And when they see something come up that's not right, they're supposed to raise their hand, okay? And so you don't have to have an antagonistic relationship with your client. You don't have to have, the controller doesn't have to have an antagonistic relationship with the mayor or city council. I wouldn't want that. I would want to work with the mayor. I would want to work with city council. I would want to work with the civic leaders. I would want to work with businessmen to try to find solutions.
Okay. What's your view of the job that Mayor Parker has been doing?
She's been a good mayor. She's accomplished a lot. We've had some financial difficulties just from the economy while she's been mayor. So I don't really have any complaints one way or another.
Who are you going to be supporting for mayor this year?
I'm staying out of the race.
All right. I get that answer a lot. Some people answer, but a lot of them don't. I think one thing that I have seen done in past years that the controller's had a role in is in working to refinance city debt.
Yes.
Interest rates are about as low as they're going to go. Do you see opportunities to do some of that?
Well, there obviously are some, and I think Ron Green has done some of that. Some of the refinancings have been done at a premium. Last year, 2012, haven't seen the 2013 numbers yet, and won't until after the election. But in 2012, the city had somewhere in the neighborhood of $81 million in premiums. That's not what I would do. I would issue them at the lowest possible interest rate. So I think there's obviously going to be some opportunities. Now, sometimes your debt instruments have prohibitions or penalties you have to pay to refinance early. So you might have your hands tied
Okay. I mean, you know, debt service is a big part, is kind of an underappreciated part of the budget. You know, the city is always going to take on a certain amount of debt for, you know, capital projects and whatnot. I mean, do you think, I mean, is the city's debt level something that you're concerned about? Do you see it as something that's a like long-term problem, or do you think that's just, or do you think where we are right now is just sort of normal business?
Well, I think we've got too much debt. And let me try to explain. We've got, and it's not in the debt we've incurred to do long-term projects. We've got $600 million of pension obligation bonds that were issued in 2006-2007 range. We've not paid one dime in principal payments on that. We continue to issue IOUs on our pension funds year after year. It's almost probably over $1 billion by now. So that's $1.6 billion in pension-related debt. We've got we've got $1 billion of unfunded. It's $2 billion total, but $1 billion of unfunded obligations on pension, healthcare, retirement benefits. So we've got sort of this hidden debt that we're accumulating. It's things that we push off and push back. We're also starting to borrow from some of our vendors by slowing the payments down. Okay, and it's all a symptom of we don't have good control over our financial resources, particularly when you start writing IOUs that effectively bear an interest rate of 8.5%. So that's very damaging.
Since you mentioned the healthcare obligations, you know, obviously there's going to be some changes to the healthcare laws coming up. You know, where do you see opportunities, potential pitfalls, challenges for the city of Houston going forward under changes to the healthcare law, if there are any?
Yeah, I don't. You know, the healthcare plan they have now, I haven't really studied that. I know it's new. They went to a self-insurance type program, and it's backed by Cigna or administered by Cigna. The intention there was to cut costs, which is a good intention. Whether or not it's been effective remains to be seen. I don't know that the new healthcare law, I don't know what kind of effect it's going to have. It might have some effect on retirees, where you might be able to get them into a cheaper plan, less expensive, not cheaper, but less expensive. So there might be some opportunities there. But, you know, the jury's still out on that, how that's going to work.
Okay. Is there anything that you feel we should be talking about that I haven't brought up so far?
Well, I think the one thing that surprises me, or has surprised me the most since I've been doing this, is there's a certain level of distrust in the city government that's, I think, caused by lack of good, clear communication. And you can improve on that by having a controller that's going to start giving more, better, clearer information to the people who are the stakeholders in some of these issues. And I think things will work a little bit better. I think we'll have better decisions when that starts to happen. And I think people will feel a little bit more comfortable in where we are, and they'll kind of lessen the tension up a little bit. I don't have any solutions to these problems. I'm not the one who's going to come in and solve it, but I think that by getting more and more people together to work toward a common goal with good, reliable information will go a long way to helping solve these problems.
All right, so to wrap up, why should people vote for you in November to be the next controller?
Well, I think I'm the most qualified. I've got a proven track record in the financial industry. I am a CPA. I'm the only CPA running. And so I believe that just on credentials alone, and my willingness to work on all sides of the issues says enough. I believe that people should vote for me for city controller.
All right. Bill Fraser, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks.